whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Poor timing for the Kings to be playing the Flames.
Oh, yeah, boy.
That's just not. Oh. No. Eesh.
Boy, that
universe.
That might be bad form to even make a joke out of that.
Bad sense of humor.
My goodness, who are you?
Universe with a bad sense of humor there. Good morning.
Universe and you.
It was in the update. I didn't have to think much there. It was.
You know what I was thinking was like, who cares about rescheduling sports? All these people are losing their homes and businesses. And
it's
you're thinking about.
It's terrible.
I mean, yeah, I don't think it's inappropriate to think about rescheduling sports.
No,
in hearing about all of these, because Lisa is from that area, mm-hmm. and she is talking about how impactful this is on the neighborhoods that are there and all this stuff. And anyway, she's following a lot closer. And my instant reaction was when she said, hey, you know, it's hitting Pasadena. The Rose Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's my interaction
with the brain of a sports fan. Yeah,
it's the brain of a sports fan. Now, I didn't think about the matchup between the Flames.
I would also remind you that a game earlier this season involving the Hurricanes against the Lightning in Tampa was delayed because of a hurricane.
Correct. Yes.
It's the weirdest thing, man. But yes, clearly we want to make sure everybody's okay out there. Yeah. That's a scary scene.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Back to what matters most.
As we kick off the show today, good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass, and we're going to get to the Thursday touchdown with some great storylines. College football playoff is back. NFL playoffs kick off this week. John, we broadcast to a city of winners. Good morning, winners.
You wake up and we know that the Wings are, they're right there at 500, so we can't necessarily call them winners yet, even though recently they've been on the winning path. But we've got a basketball team that is above 500. How about that?
For the first time in Cade Cunningham's career, this deep in the season, they have a winning record.
I don't even remember what we had mentioned at the beginning of the season, what we thought this team would be in terms of wins and losses. And was it 35? What was the over-under by Vegas? I don't even remember.
It wasn't even 30. No, team's going to go over. Yeah.
Certainly they're going to go over, but I'm curious as to, and because of the remodel over here, I think I got rid of my fact or fiction that we did before the season, but they're going to surpass, I think, almost everyone's expectations in the first year of J.B. Bickerstaff. And did we underestimate the impact that he's going to have on this team, or is it the development of Cade? It's hard to separate the two, but this is your four or five of Cade?
Four.
Okay, thank you.
We shouldn't soon forget how bleak this was in the summer. They're coming off the worst season in franchise history. Monty Williams has this albatross of a contract. There's very little shooting around Cade Cunningham. He maybe had his development stunted a little bit because of that and injuries. And you're thinking, when is this ever going to get any better? And John, it's been pretty much perfect since that point. Gore stepped up, give him credit, said, I'm buying out Monty Williams. I don't care how many tens of millions of dollars I have to pay. He's a disaster. We're going to hire a professional. We're going to hire a coach in J.B. Bickerstaff who elevated the Cavs to a 50-win team. We're going to give a guy, Cade Cunningham, real coaching and real floor spacing, a veteran in Tim Hardaway Jr. and Malik Beasley and Tobias Harris. And John, it's gone perfectly for them. This is as good as it could have gone for them. Their star is on the ascent. The coaching has taken hold. There's support around him. And I mean this in the best way possible. I'm excited they're going to lose their first round pick. I don't know if people are aware of what's going to happen. If the Pistons finish, if they don't pick in the top 13, they give the pick to the Knicks.
Right.
And they owe it to them because of the draft day trade with Isaiah Stewart. It's been lingering and lingering and lingering. And as long as they're bad, it just lingers.
Yeah. Thank you, Troy Weaver.
I don't care about losing the first round pick. Yeah, thanks, Troy Weaver. I don't care about losing the first round pick. I want to see some progress.
Yeah.
And this is progress.
Is there a draft, unless you have the top pick or top one or two picks, depending on the year, that you really don't care that much about the draft pick?
I don't
know that there's another sport other than maybe hockey where you're thinking, okay, anything past the second round, you're like, yeah, whatever. We'll see in 5 years. But to lose it for the Pistons, It's, you know, it's a coin flip.
Well, and they're not winning these lotteries
and
anyway.
No, and I would much rather have a team that is fun to watch, exciting, intriguing, and winning.
I will say this. If you are in the top 13, you do have a chance at flag. And it is as minimal as it can get, but you have a chance. You got to have a ping pong ball to win, all right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that could be franchise altering. This draft has what some people think is a unicorn. Not every draft has a unicorn. I know
what you're saying, and I'm just trying to, as a person who has endured many a lottery and not won any of them.
Whoa. Because we have won the lottery, and we're talking about Cade Cunningham and his development in year four. Like, let's not gloss over the fact everybody keeps saying we have no lottery luck. Well, we've won the lottery.
Yeah, I'm just kidding here to a joke. Seriously, I'd rather have the Pistons win 35 to 40 games, get in the play-in playoff game, than have a 1% chance at winning the lottery.
Okay, I can't say they've never won the lottery. Fair correction. I guess I'm just looking at the Victor Wembanyama draft coming off the worst season in franchise history. Like, they've had so many bad seasons and they pick fifth. The idea that they would win the lottery picking 13th, at that point, win a couple more games, be in the play-in, be in the playoff. Yeah. I'll give up the pick at that point to see a team that's actually turning the corner. And John, if you watched last night or if you've watched this year, they're turning the corner. They're now 19 and 18. No Detroit team has lost in 2025. That's why I say,
keep running.
Yeah, you're Detroit, the year of the winners.
Greg was just waiting for that one. For the past 40 minutes, he has been just waiting for that.
So
I asked the question in the room there, who in the United States of America, which sports town has it better than us right now? And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone. Now, we mentioned it. I don't know if the Pistons end up making the postseason. Don't know if the Wings do. We know that there was a great run by the Tigers. And it's all spearheaded. The feeling around the city of Detroit, the way that we feel about our sports teams, is all spearheaded by the Lions. Like, this is a football town. It's sports fans in large part, football is king. So you have a number one seed, you're going to automatically be bumped near the top of that list. Then you throw in the Tigers. You throw in what the Pistons are doing and the Wings, the excitement that they've had since McClellan has been, you know, named the head coach. Like, there is not a town in the U.S. of A. that has it better than us right now. And when I said that, obviously Greg said, "Oh, we've got audio for that."
So what you're really asking is, who's got it better than us? Yeah. Tom, you were saying we were going to gloss over something there.
And where's the people right now that want to trade Cade? Remember that? Remember those people?
Yep.
The same people that
didn't think the Lions would win 14 games.
Yeah.
Same
that want to trade a pitcher?
The jury's out on that. I think a crucial thing that's going to transpire for the rest of the Pistons season, beyond them continuing to win or flirt with the playoffs, is, does Cade stay healthy?
Yeah.
Because we're at a fork in the road here. Everybody thinks he's injury prone. Everybody thinks he can't play a whole season. Well, if he does, humongous sign. And we've compared a little bit in the past to what Stafford went through the first couple of years of his career.
Yep.
Was he injury prone or was it coincidence?
Yeah, because he was durable after that.
Yeah.
And if Cade gets his feet under him, right? Yeah. A couple years in the NBA, you bulk up, you get used to the rigors of playing 82 games.
Well, and you have a coach that takes care of you like JB did last night. All right. Yeah. It's not load management because Cade played, but as you start to pull away from an opponent, Cade only played 23 minutes last night because you always look, okay, who's the leading scorer? And 9 times out of 10, it's going to be Cade Cunningham. But then you look and you say, okay, well, the bench had a great day. 50 to 20, the bench outscored the Brooklyn bench.
All right, and they did what they're supposed to do last night. If they're a playoff team, you win. You beat that team, yep. Right? And how about a little credit to Tom Gores? Seriously.
But yeah, Cookies mentioned that earlier.
Well, I know, but the fact is where a lesson can be learned, maybe from the ownership of the Red Wings and the Tigers, is...
cut your losses.
If you don't have your coach, get rid of them. Pay them out. And buying out people, Javi.
I think it's pretty clear. That's what we said the day Monty was bought out is, hey, wait, this is allowed. You can do this. And it has been a positive for the Pistons.
It takes a lot for a guy who has a big ego probably as an owner and a successful businessman to say, I'm going to throw away 60-some million dollars.
Yeah. Well, what's a bigger hit on the ego? Making a bad decision in terms of money, which he has lots of, or watching the team that you own be have the worst season in franchise history?
Well, it shows me, as much as people made fun of him at times, that he does care.
Yep.
And that he does want to win, and he's going to correct a situation immediately and not let Monty linger into Christmas and potentially... Do you think this team would have 19?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Maybe, you know, that's the whole thing.
No, they'd still be starting Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes would still be starting if Monty Williams is here.
That's a real thing we all endured, guys. Jaden Ivey on the pine so Killian Hayes could start and play 35 minutes. We all endured this together. How quickly we forget. Now, they wouldn't be here if Monty Williams was still
the
coach.
I hope Champion's listening.
Or yeah, well.
Why?
I'm just messing.
Was Champion a big Killian Hayes guy? I mean, he wants the team to win too, right? I mean, this is... J.B. Bickerstaff's been a great addition.
No. Champion just wants his team to have a little time, which we've given him.
There you go. We got some football later in the hour. It is football season. Playoff season is here. Some ticket text responding to the start of the show. And coming up next, something that you learned moving, John.
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting. Anyway... you mentioned football fans. You mentioned the fact that the playoffs are here. Tonight, the first time ever, we've got 5 straight days of playoff football. We'll start with the college game tonight, end on Monday night with the professional game. And FanDuel is celebrating with a great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. And if you want to play all 5, you're going to have to start tonight with a no-sweat SGP. You can combine your bets from the same game for a chance at an even bigger payout. And if it doesn't hit, you're going to get your bonus bets back. So not only do we have, do we get to watch 5 straight days of playoff football, that's also 5 chances to win big. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to be part of the epic run. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen. It's the great playoff payoff, and it's only on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Minimum 3-leg parlay required as well. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good morning, winners.
It's a butt kicking, yeah.
Pistons win. That's 5 in a row. Wings have won 5 in a row. Lions haven't lost in the new year. The city of Detroit, bunch of winners in 2025.
Get the starters out. Well, they did.
They were up big enough they could just kind of let off a little bit at the end.
Let's coast. We're good.
How about that? And people might not realize as they wake up this morning, the Pistons are playing so well, they may lose their first round pick. And I don't say that as a bad thing. It would mean they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They owe it to the Knicks at some point. Turn the corner.
Yeah.
And that's what they're
just
doing.
Just win.
Just win.
And take all of the things that come with it.
I don't need another lottery that they end up falling.
Lose. Yeah.
Yeah. Ticket text 248-539-9797. John, texter says LA has a better sports town than we do right now. 2 playoff football teams and the Dodgers who won the World Series.
Yeah, but LA doesn't have the sports fans like we have here. They just simply don't. How many times do we talk about teams going to LA and taking over SoFi? Whether it's the Chargers or the Rams, it doesn't matter.
Texter says, are you guys kidding me right now? We're throwing a party for 2 teams over 500, shaking my head.
No, we're not throwing a... it's in conjunction with the number one seed in the NFC, the Detroit Lions, along with what the Tigers did. Let's not forget, I don't know if the Tigers can repeat it. I don't know if they will. We could talk about ownership and Scott Harris, but what the Tigers did was so much fun, and it happened one other time in 100 years.
Is it Bickerstaff getting the full potential, or that Monty Williams was a terrible coach, or is it both? It's both.
It's both.
And people, texter says, are the people who wanted Cade traded the same that came up with a fish to not talk about local teams, or maybe the same people who said they couldn't win when Hutch went down? Well, hold on. We came up with the fish, walleye.
Oh, yeah.
But we never said trade Cade. This is a pro-Cade show.
Right. Never said trade Cade. You know, we weren't trade Scooble. We weren't, any of this stuff. So it's, Hey, people hear what they hear.
I know. And we may have been alluding to a different show. All right, John, you moved.
Yes, I did.
And you learned something.
Yeah. Oh, I learned that I was carrying way more around in my pocket than I really ever thought I was. And I'm talking about my keys. And quick to get to the keys. It's not keys to the game. This is the keys to... Yes, I've answered that. Anyway, as I turned over the house keys to the new owner, I looked at the ones that were, and I put the house keys on for the new house. Mm-hmm. I looked and I'm like, wait a second. What is this key for? What is this key for? And I eventually was able to come to the conclusion that I had a key. So in the back of my truck, right, I've got a lock. Whenever I put the Yeti in the back, right, I've got a lock that locks it in the back of my truck so that nobody can, you know, walk away with it. So I had a key for that. I had a key for, we have a storage unit that is used for storage, before you guys go there. And I got a key for that lock. Had a key for a gun safe. Had a key for a lot of different things. And I thought, why am I carrying all these keys around? Because maybe once a year do I need some of them. Others I haven't used in a long time. And like the one for the Yeti in the back of my truck, like, why don't I just leave that one in my glove box? And then when I need it, there it is.
And so you consolidated?
I've consolidated, yes. I basically have I have two keys on my key ring now. I've got one for – I have an office at home that I do lock. And I also have a key for the house and my truck key. Right, so I carry three,
but that's more of a fob probably for your truck.
It is, yes. And yeah. Nobody. I mean, I don't like not having a key that I actually put in the ignition. The push button annoys me. Yeah. But how many? Why not? How many keys do you guys have? Have you ever?
Oh yeah,
gone through the inventory and said, you know what? Why am I carrying this key? What is this key even for?
No, I don't have keys.
At all.
It was in like the past 2 years that
You're
I got
so
locked
Stony.
Out of the house.
Stony said
so
the same thing.
I had somebody come over and we had a keysmith or whatever come make a is that
key?
What they're called?
A house key? Yeah. A locksmith.
Keysmith,
yes. Yeah.
They made a house key for us and now I do, but it's not even on my key ring.
Where is it?
It's probably in my purse somewhere, maybe in my car.
Yes. Well, you carry a purse, yes. Yeah. Dudes have pockets. No man bags. We have
I don't have any keys.
I have one key with my car key. It's the house key.
The house
and
key.
That's it.
Yep.
But I used to, John, to your point, like two moves ago, I had like old keys to like my parents' house in Livonia. They've since moved. I'm sure they've switched the locks. You collect keys.
You had a key from a house, a childhood home that you haven't lived in.
They don't even live in. No.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because you collect these things until
you carry them in your pockets. Why do you want all that jingling around?
I don't want it, which is why I've consolidated. Does anybody carry like a big key ring anymore?
No, not unless it's for work. Yeah.
No.
I used to do that because when I was playing and I always had broken fingers, like I didn't want to put my hand in my pocket. So I would have a like one of the carabiners on my front belt loop.
We're used to things jiggling around.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going
to
play a
Let's
drop.
Go to news.
Let's get
Thank
to
you.
The news.
Yes.
In more serious news, what is going on right now in LA is absolutely devastating. Yeah. If you've seen the photos, seen the videos, it brings tears to your eyes. It is heartbreaking. And then you think about all these families who are affected and the kids. Like the parents have to be strong, right? So that their kids aren't affected by everything that's going on. And you have to figure out how you're going to tell the children that, I'm sorry, your school is leveled. Their home was just burnt to the ground. Like it is absolutely devastating. Multiple wind fuel wildfires are just blazing right now. As of Wednesday night, 7 fires were burning. More than 1,000, which I'm sure is higher now, buildings have been destroyed. At least 5 people have died. That is expected to rise as well. More than 100,000 people were under mandatory evacuations. More than 3 million without power in LA as of Wednesday afternoon. And unfortunately, the fires are being pushed by these Santa Ana winds from the east. And officials are warning that the worst is yet to come. And when you hear that and you see the devastation, it's like, how can this get any worse? It is so, so sad. The latest fire broke out in the Hollywood Hills area. That's where, you know, the Hollywood sign is. Have you guys been to LA?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been there probably more times than I can count. And it's... You know these areas when you see them listed. It's like, I've been there, I've eaten there, I've walked these streets. So it's so sad. And then you know, I see it on social media because I follow celebrities, and all of these celebrities are losing their homes, and a lot have been
impacted. Yeah, J.J. Redick talked about it, and I was watching the USC and Indiana basketball game last night. They're playing in Bloomington, and the announcers were talking about the coaches, the coaching staff, mm-hmm. the recruiting, and a lot of the players who, you know, do actually come from that area where they had, you know, high school teammates that were losing their homes. They had, you know, friends, family that are being evacuated. It's unbelievable.
It is so, so sad. And it happened very quickly. And some people didn't have a lot of time or a lot of notice to evacuate. So it's you grab your kids, you grab your dog, and you go.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of time for people to take everything they own.
Have you seen how
fast
it's traveling?
It is so, so, so sad. It's wild. And not so sad news. Amon-Ra St. Brown is doing something really cool with the Rochester Bakery that made him a full-size cake, right? Like, made him into
life
a
size.
Full-size cake doing that headstand. So not only is he going to stop by.
Did you go see how big the cake is?
I haven't been down yet, but I've seen it's pretty little, but
it's tiny. Yeah.
But you know, it's really cool nonetheless. No, I haven't seen it yet. I am gonna go down. Uh-huh. I've seen photos.
We need a picture of Colin standing next to the cake.
The cake is up high, though.
Can he do a handstand?
Can he
do a handstand next to?
He can do a headstand, but
okay. But put him next to the window.
The window is not on the ground.
Platform.
It's not on a platform, but it's like there's brick, and then the window starts, right? So it's not like
we'll
you can actually.
We'll bring him like a little stool.
Maybe
see if we can
get him inside the bakery and ask if he can stand just
right
next to the cake. Anyway, not only is he going to go and visit the home bakery in downtown Rochester, but he's also doing a contest, and this is what is so cool. Anybody who makes a purchase at the bakery between January 13th and the 16th will be entered to win tickets to the divisional round playoff game next week.
Ooh.
You just have to buy anything. So get your foot in the door. Go get a donut, a cupcake, a cookie, whatever your heart desires. Order a cake. I don't care. The winner will be announced on January 17th.
This is one we're not excluded from either. We could actually win some tickets.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
So what's so cool is just...
Costa would sell them.
The tickets or the cake?
Yeah, both.
I just bought a cake here. Buy it for more.
I only get cookies.
He would. Wouldn't you? Finally, Jahmyr Gibbs ended the second NFL season with a bang. He was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week after scoring 4 touchdowns, obviously to help the team beat the Vikings on Sunday night. Pretty darn cool.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Thursday Touchdown. It's 97.1.
Hey, Planet Fitness, this is the time of year where everybody wants to start something new. You got a vision for what you want to look like this summer. And we talk about losing weight. We talk about getting in shape. If you want to feel your strongest, have your best version of yourself this year, stop into Planet Fitness. It's affordable. $1 down, $15 a month gets you in the door. And they've got new machines. They're updating their clubs all around Metro Detroit, because there's 50 of them in Metro Detroit. There's 15 of them in Grand Rapids, 6 in Toledo. If you want access to all of those clubs, as well as 2,600 clubs nationwide, then upgrade to the Black Card membership. You do have unlimited guest privileges, so you can take somebody with you. You have access to any of them that you want to go to. And I mentioned some of those machines and cardio equipment. Listen to the stack of equipment that they have. They've got free weights. They've got machines, cable towers, Smith machines, upper and lower body strength machines, treadmill, Stairmasters. They got something for everyone. And if you are up to that Black Card membership, you also have access to the Black Card Spa, which includes hydro massage and other innovative amenities. There's so much going on there. Have some fun with it. You must be 18 years old to enroll, or if you're 13 to 17, you got to have a parent or guardian. Hours, amenities, and offers vary by club. Check out theplanetfitness.com or stop by your local club for more information. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or at the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. That is Planet Fitness.
College football playoff, NFL playoffs. It's the Thursday touchdown.
And touchdown.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Touchdown, Highlanders.
Touchdown, Philadelphia.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Lakers.
Touchdown.
Alrighty, 5 straight days of college football playoff or NFL playoff games. It's going to be awesome. The college football playoff resumes tonight with Notre Dame facing Penn State at the Orange Bowl. Then tomorrow night, we got Ohio State facing Texas at the Cotton Bowl. What matchup would provide the best national championship game in your eyes?
I believe it would be Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Seriously?
Well, I do. So some of it's recency bias, right? We all remember, 23, when Ryan Day announced and proclaimed that his team was tough. Like, I want to see more Lou Holtz versus Ryan Day. Like, go after the old guy. Like, continue your demise, in terms of PR. But from 95 to 23, they have matched up 6 different times. Ohio State has won all 6. And I just think... as much as all 4 of these teams, there's reasons why I don't want any of them to win. Somebody is going to win. Marcus Freeman is a guy that I can get behind. And obviously Lloyd Sun is a quarterback there. So I'm looking deep down the list of reasons why I would want someone to win this. And as a Wolverine, saying Notre Dame and Ohio State to play a championship game really hurts.
I'm proud of you. You were able to kind of set the Wolverine stuff aside. It is the best matchup. 2 iconic Midwest brands. Marcus Freeman against the school he played for. Ryan Day, can he win the big one? And the football matchup. Notre Dame has the #1 pass efficiency defense against that OSU passing attack. That's your best championship.
Yep. I do think an Ohio State Penn State would be good for the Big Ten. I mean, there would be some bragging rights there.
Let's talk about 2.
Because, well, wait a minute here. I was just going to say one other thing about this. Nobody said Texas-Penn State would seem like the weirdest matchup. I don't think they've played in my life. Greg is right about that. He knows. Like, instantly he knows. I knew it. That's why I went there, because I knew Greg would be able to answer that. Very unique matchup. All right. Who has the most to gain if they win the national championship? Now, this might be easy on the surface, but think about it. Ryan Day, James Franklin, Steve Sarkisian, or Marcus Freeman?
Ryan Day has the most to lose, but the guy who has the most to gain is the person who never wins a big game ever, and that's James Franklin. Big game, yeah. James, unironically, yeah, he has the most to win.
I same thing, James Franklin. Ryan Day, even if he wins, there's going to be a part of that lunatic fan base that's going to say, well, you've lost to Michigan 4 years in a row. We still want a new coach. And they would have just won the national championship. Like, I don't know that he can actually gain enough by winning a national championship. It sounds unbelievable to say out loud. James Franklin, if there's anyone I want to win less, I'm not sure if it's Ryan Day or James Franklin, but James Franklin has the most to gain. Since he signed that big contract extension, was it 9 years, $90 million or 10 years, whatever it was, we were actually there a week or 2 after that, and that fan base was so disappointed that they were stuck with James Franklin for nearly another decade. He certainly has the most to gain.
Well, Franklin would beat 2 straight top 10 teams, which would seem like a miracle.
Yeah, miracles do happen.
With Day, if he wins, it just further maybe cements that the rivalry doesn't matter like it used to a degree. I mean, that's where college football is going. It's turning into the NFL. Who cares if the Lions lose to the Packers again, in the regular season, as long as you win a championship?
Who loses in that? It's the college football fan loses in that.
Right. And then I do think, don't underestimate the gain for Marcus Freeman. He would go down in Notre Dame lore. When you win national championships at Notre Dame, you're legend. And he would have job protection for quite a while. All right, so many people deserve credit for the Lions turnaround. Let's have some fun here and do an Olympic medal stand. Who gets the gold, silver, and bronze medals for the Lions turnaround the last 4 years?
All right, so one of these I thought a little bit outside the box, and I'm sure, because we had talked about this yesterday, somebody's going to be left off the medal stand. I get it. I don't care. The gold medal goes to Dan Campbell, because he is the one that has set the culture. He was brought in before Brad Holmes. Now, the relationship between those guys, that's why I've got Brad Holmes as the silver, because of what he has done in the draft, how he has built this roster, how those two guys have worked together. The symbiotic relationship has been unbelievable. It's hard to even imagine that a GM is hired after a coach and they've been able to work together like this. But so gold for Dan, silver for Brad. Here's where I went outside the box, because part of it has to be done on the field. That culture has to be accepted by the players. It has to be personified by a player, and that player is Frank Ragnow. He's tough. He's gritty. He doesn't care how much it hurts. He's playing with a torn pec. He has all season long. So Frank is, he gets the bronze.
The debate for gold is between Campbell and Holmes, and I went Dan Campbell with the gold medal because we've seen great players be drafted in Detroit and be squandered. You need a structure. You need a culture. That has to help even the lesser players elevate their game. So
boots on the ground.
Yeah, boots on the ground. Campbell's gold. Holmes is silver. And I went Sheila with the bronze. I think she had to step up in a big way and step out of the way, but then also stand by these guys while they struggled early.
I would go Sheila gold. Because nothing changes unless she's willing to change and put her pride aside. Then she went and talked to the guy and got the advice from the guy who said this is the way you need to do things, and that's Chris Spielman. So he would get the silver, and I give the bronze to Brad Campbell. Mm. Like that?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheater.
Thursday touchdown. Exactly. The Thursday touchdown speculated about 6 weeks ago that Jahmyr Gibbs should have become the Lions' feature back. He has carried the load, and now Montgomery might be back for the next game. How should the Lions handle this situation? Who starts? Who gets the goal line carries?
Gibbs is more dynamic. He's more dangerous. He should get about 65% of the touches. Montgomery, the other 35. And I think short yardage, David Montgomery is still your hammer.
I go back to the same way. Who starts? It's Knuckles. Put him out there. Set the tone. We talked about how much he sets the tone. And then in terms of the percentages, yeah, I go probably 65 Gibbs just to continue to protect David Montgomery just a little bit, but put him out there and go with what has worked for so much over the last 2 years, but certainly this year.
All right, the Vikings, Commanders, Packers, Chargers, Steelers, and Broncos all open on the road this weekend. Four teams have won three road playoff games and gone on to win the Super Bowl. Which of this year's six road teams could pull off this feat?
So I looked at the options, and I said, okay, who's got the best quarterback of the bunch? That's Justin Herbert. Who's got a coach that has actually gone on the road and won an NFC championship game? That's Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, my gosh, you're doing this?
Yeah, I know.
Who's better than us?
No.
Twice in an hour.
Yeah, well, that was actually Jack. Thanks, Jack. And I appreciate you finding Jack versus Jim on that one. So I'm going to go with the Chargers. And because the Steelers, Packers, Commanders, Vikings, like you've got young quarterbacks, unproven quarterbacks. You've got guys there that, and I don't think any of these ones do it, but the best chance is the Chargers.
I hate that we keep agreeing. I think Herbert's the best quarterback of that group. I really do. And I think they finally provided him structure, a run game, a defense. And you're right, the coach matters. Harbaugh's done this, and they can go in as an underdog and win the first game, which is the first step in pulling this off.
Yeah, I think you go there. Maybe you could give a slight lean to the Broncos, too, just because Sean Payton's done it. And they're playing really, really good. They're balanced. They have good defense, and they're... You know, would play the Chiefs for a third time, like the Chargers, so division foe. I do think the Chargers going into Arrowhead could be pretty sneaky.
Yeah.
Both games against the Chiefs this year, the Chargers gave up under 20 to them.
Yeah.
They were tight, pretty tight games. So I think you guys got that one. You nailed it. 18 teams are sitting at home as the NFL playoffs begin. Which of these 18 teams had the most disappointing season?
Oh, this was easy to me. It was the team who had the passing leader and touchdown leader, the sack leader, and a wide receiver who won the Triple Crown. They also played a fourth-place schedule, and they missed the playoffs. I'm talking about Joe Burrow's Cincinnati Bengals.
You need to get out of my head. I agree. Cincinnati, they started off 0-3, and they couldn't find any footing until they got to about week 12, where they played the Cowboys. They finally started to find a rhythm. Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos, Steelers, all wins to end the season. And you look at those opponents and say, well, they should beat those opponents. If you got Joe Burrow... But it's just been so disappointing. And the disappointing thing has come on defense. The sack leader and Trey Hendrickson, like, disappointing.
You know, I cannot believe that Casa did not say the Jets, especially when they were 6-2 at the bye. Tyreek Hill refused to play on Sunday, then made it sound after the game on Sunday that he wants out of Miami. If Hill is traded, what team would be the ideal fit?
You know what? I didn't go with the ideal fit for, like, okay, where would he be best served? How could he best utilize his talents? I went with the team that has made horrible decisions. There's two of them to pick from, and I think I'll send him to a team in Ohio, Cleveland. Like, you signed Deshaun Watson. You have to live with that. then you sign Tyreek Hill. Like, this just would fit, especially if they trade for him. They won't take the full cap hit because of what they're dealing with Deshaun Watson's contract. I think he belongs in Ohio, and he belongs in Cleveland.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for a guy who left winning to take money and now is bummed that he's not winning.
Me.
Right division, wrong team.
Oh.
If Baltimore doesn't win it, don't they add him?
Oh, come on. You went with where he would actually be best served.
Tried to answer the question.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I was actually thinking of best served. You might go back to your answer a few questions ago.
Chargers?
Yeah.
Put Harbaugh him
if you
that?
Have if you have good soldier Tyreek Hill, who's focused on doing the right things and playing to win, and the way Harbaugh loves to run the football, but you put a dynamic speedster in that with a guy that's got a gun at quarterback.
Sure.
Woo.
Or, again, the two teams that I think are more deserving, Cleveland is certainly one. The Jets would be two. Yes. They decide not to hire Spielman, and they run it back with Aaron Rodgers. Give them Tyreek Hill and Adams, and just watch it burn.
How about if he just goes to Tennessee? Then everybody can at least have one Tennessee Titan in their fantasy league.
There you go. And that is your Thursday touchdown. No love for Tony Pollard, huh? 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case could take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. Whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random dork you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
A couple quick ticket texts, and then we got to get to some business happening at the office. Off Thursday touchdown, texter says, I have a tie for all the medals. So they're cheating, essentially. Sheila and Chris Spielman with the gold. Holmes and Campbell with the silver. Goff and Sewell with the bronze.
All right, yeah, if you want to include six people.
Why don't you make it three-way ties and cram in a few more?
Yeah.
And then this is a fun note. Mike in Waterford, he says, since August 5th, the Tigers, Wings, and Pistons are 89 and 61, 60% win percentage. City of
Nice.
Winners.
Yep.
And we've given the stat. They haven't lost in 2025.
That's right. Yep. It just goes to show you can make numbers say pretty much whatever you want.
Yeah.
Stats are stats.
All right. We got two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Hopefully it's better than the first two Grand Slam of the year.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to say we're just going to have a redo.
Okay. This is the first one.
Yeah. This is going to be the first one.
If you're going to call, make sure you have good cell service.
Don't mute yourself if you're on the phone.
Understand how to use your...
Finish the 60 seconds.
Like, say something. Yeah. Guess or pass. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
So that is at 7:25. We have a bit of an office etiquette issue here, John.
Oh, this is, and it's not just our office. It is every office, not just in Detroit or in Michigan or in this country. It is a worldwide issue. That is reply all. When the boss sends out congratulations to one group or an individual, and the amount of people that reply all, because they want not only the boss to know that they recognize what was being said, they want everybody else to know, hey, I'm brown nosing. And I'm going to make sure everybody understands that I recognize this and I am going to reply so that not only the boss, but everybody understands I'm employee of the month.
So the latest example of this for us, Heather, you had it in your news the other day. Chris Villar, who you hear doing updates on our station, he and his wife welcomed a new baby.
Yeah, congrats to
them. Awesome.
Yes. Very exciting news.
Which is the same sentiment every individual is going to have.
Yes.
Congratulations, Chris, to you, your wife, your beautiful baby daughter. I don't need to get that. I don't need to get 50 replies in my email.
Send it just to Chris?
Yes. Yeah. If it's meaningful, you just single out the person and you send them a message.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to signal, virtual or what do they call it? virtue signal everyone that I'm a good person. I'm going to reply to this.
I mean, look, if there's anything, like, that's the thing about this example, the birth of a baby, everybody's kind of interested, wants to see a picture. It doesn't mean you have to reply all still.
Chris, of the baby.
I mean, what else? What are you supposed to reply? Your life's over when you have kids?
Yeah. No more golf for you, pal.
I mean, look, it's like, I don't understand why you hit all. I mean, once in a while, somebody makes a mistake and hits reply all. That's a completely different thing. But
it's the same people all the time.
It's the same cast of characters. And once, you know, somebody with the initials JH around here replies all, you know it's on. It's like I only know who that person is because of reply all. So I don't
look. I'm not going to read all of these emails on the air, but someone did just say congrats. Reply all, congrats.
Right.
At that point, why?
Yeah.
So everyone can see you. Yeah. That's what that's about.
Look at me.
Then you reply to that one, ditto.
And now our emails are getting blown up with nonsense.
Yeah, we get enough emails for actual work things. And if you want to reply, just reply to the individual.
Yeah, that's personal. That's nice. That's thoughtful. There's nothing wrong with that.
So is this one of the more annoying things that happens in the workplace? Because keeping up with the email inbox sometimes, that's some people let emails just grow. I don't. I have to keep mine somewhat organized.
Sure.
Because there's too much coming in that matters and then doesn't matter. And
then when you reply all, it's like it brings back, for some reason, all of the emails that you've already deleted.
Right. And the other thing, too, is like in the, you know, post-COVID world where we're all kind of just doing things all day long, but you're not really in the office
right, at
9 to 5, you know, you're kind of just managing.
It's the supercomputer in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, notification. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody named Jim Hughes is saying congratulations. I mean, why do I need to see that? Why do you need to bother me?
Where are you at on reply all? Are you one of these guys that does this? And what are the most annoying?
Or gals. Just dudes.
That's fine.
Now
I meant guys is a gender-neutral term, John, but sure.
All right.
We have Dustin Fioco in doing updates. How come you haven't replied all yet? Common sense?
Well, I mean, I saw when 20 people did it. I thought the 21st one wouldn't mean that much.
That's a great point.
You're correct. But yes, and here's the other thing, too, is, oh, well, because the initial email comes out and it just says it's labeled Detroit, right? So everybody here gets the announcement, which I was excited to get. I wanted to see and hear when Chris had the baby. But if you don't know, because we are on the company email, all you have to do is start typing in their name and their email immediately pops up. So just send a fresh email to that individual.
Like, I would love to know, like, what our market manager thinks of the reply. Because usually when she sends something out, like asking for brainstorming stuff, please send directly to me.
Right.
So, I just love, I know Jimmy doesn't like them, but.
Well, Debbie may have been one of the culprits in here if you really scroll through. I think she hit the reply all as well, so.
Ooh.
248-539-9797.
I don't remember her doing that very often.
No, I can't remember that either.
That's
but
why
I just,
a birth
I have
of a baby of is a fine line, because it is such a good thing for somebody.
Oh, it's, we're so happy for Chris. Now, that's not what this is about.
And, right. And then Chris did reply also. He reignited this.
Right.
But he replied all with a picture. So
well, that's right, helpful.
But okay, so, yes. So he's allowed to do that in this situation. Hey, I'm going to send it out to everybody because I'm not going to type in everyone's email. I'm just going to reply all because it was sent to everyone. So then when that happens, now, instead of actually having to search for his email, you have it. Just reply to the individual.
This is not about Chris and the baby. This is about the reply all behavior that happens at our office and a lot of your offices out there. So we want to know, what are those annoying office things that you deal with? And this is probably one of them.
Here's what's worse.
What?
Is, at least the way I have my email set up, when I hit reply, it only goes to the person that was being sent. You actually have to select reply all.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you scroll all the way down and select reply all?
Right. And one other side note here, maybe question out there for people, if you've experienced, what's the most awkward reply all?
Oh, like an accidental one that you should not have done?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's collect those. We'll get some phone calls and ticket texts.
It's probably the one you brought up. Your life is over. Yeah. Reply all.
Yeah.
Great new dad.
Just wait until you start changing diapers.
Yeah. Yeah, the expense of diapers.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Get a little on your hand.
97.1.